Welcome to Three in the Key.
Show me something then.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
I'm going to go over two, and he cleared him easy.
Not only did he clear, but he was going by and dunked it with his left by the rim.
With your hosts, Elias L. Zane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
I think that was good. I don't think it was great.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias L. Zane alongside Dave Tripp.
What up?
And Will Macklin.
What up? What up?
Whoa, he's trying to one.
Trouble in paradise.
Trying to
sorry.
One up you. Yeah, sorry.
Are you going to take that, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely.
He stole my line. He's supposed to go, yeah.
That's true.
That's true. But Let's restart.
You switched up our order.
Yeah, typically you go me first. So
it was I always switch it up. Don't get it twisted now.
All right. Yeah, but that was huge. But yeah, welcome back. We took a week off. We were all sick, all at the same time.
We all had this thing called death.
Yeah, that was awful.
I shook that off.
Found out I'm allergic to wool somehow.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. I bought a cardigan to see. I mean, I'm 27.
Lanolin. You
know, see how it looks on me. And
how did it fit?
It fit good. I'm just saying. I noticed that my eyes were getting really bad, and I was sneezing, and I was like, "What is happening to me?"
Man.
And then it was the wool. The wool on
don't,
the.
So it was wool death.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't
yeah.
get that new Toronto Huskies throwback jersey.
Yeah, is that made of wool as well?
Probably.
Yeah, so it doesn't shriek in the rain when they played outside?
True.
NBA All-Star Weekend, guys, kicked off.
Is that today?
That is, the All-Star game is tonight. Ooh. The weekend has begun. Obviously, Team World against Team USA is always a fun event to watch with the young stars.
For a while there, I thought they should have done that for the NBA All-Star game. You could have done
it. I'm thinking of that, but then it's
now
like...
Now it's too late. You can't really do it that, really.
It takes out the voting, then.
Takes
the
out
fans
the voting,
voting,
and it takes out certain players because the American team can only have so many players. So
yeah, it will never work for it. Will never work for the actual All-Star game.
It worked for the NHL there for like a weekend or two, but I think for a while there, when it was like mid-2000s, when you had guys like Nash, Nowitzki, Tim Duncan would have gone Virgin Islands, right? So then, you had a bunch. I think the world had a better team. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but...
I think the world is getting better, though, now.
Agreed. I think the world team this year was pretty special.
For the Rising Stars,
good.
Well,
Zingas and...
Yeah, Jokic, Jamal Murray taking home MVP honors, Giannis. He wasn't playing, but he's one of the guys. Another Canadian in Trey Lyles.
Trey Lyles, right, yeah.
No unicorns either. I mean, like, right? America's got no unicorns.
No
just
unicorns
regular
in the
horses.
Yeah, I don't know. Just regular,
hornless,
no-horned.
Talented stallions. Not even.
All the unicorns are foreign.
That's right, yeah. That's crazy.
It's true.
That's so weird, actually. It's coincidental. That's what it is.
The dunk contest was horrible, eh?
Oh, my God. Was it the worst ever? You didn't watch today, Dave?
No, I watched all the highlights. So, I mean, come on now.
What highlights, though?
Well, yeah, it's true. It didn't take long.
Well, we were watching it, and I was just like, man, like, why are you using DJ Khaled? I mean, that's the reason why you're taking points off right away, DeAndre. Like, what's happening there? That's why you got, I don't know. It was not impressive whatsoever.
He's not a good basketball player either.
DJ Khaled, did you watch his video? It was awful.
I mean, he hit a shot for Craig Sager.
Yeah, see, that was practicing when DJ came out, I was like, no, don't do it, DJ, don't do it. And then, but Curry didn't hit any shots, so no thanks.
But
to
they hit those 3-pointers for Craig Sager. That must have been probably
the best part of
the best part of the night
for sure.
Yeah, that was very cool because I thought Reggie was in there, and yeah, that was for sure the best. But the dunk, going back to the dunk contest, DeAndre was impressive early. I wasn't expecting much from Jones Jr. Did not realize Robinson the third. I didn't know there was a third one.
I thought it was the NBA dunk contest. That was my thing. Not
Eric Gordon was the
D-League dunk
the only
contest.
Guy recognizable because obviously the last two times he's been in it, and last year was phenomenal versus Zach LaVine, and he missed all his dunks.
Yeah, I felt bad.
He was awful.
Except for the drone one.
The drone one, he took him three times to do it.
Yeah, and I didn't like it either.
And he was so good last year. Like, I was so excited about that. But
and he's officially retired from the dunk contest now.
Oh, come on, Aaron.
He given up?
He said that he's not going to do it. That's so far.
Lame.
But I didn't like, yeah, compared to last year, this dunk contest gets a -1 from
me. Man, think of the guys who should be in the dunk contest. Like Andrew Wiggins, that guy has been ripping people's faces off the last couple weeks.
He should have replaced LaVine, right?
Oh, man.
Honestly. And then,
but LaVine wasn't even going to be in the dunk contest this year.
Imagine Russell Westbrook in the friggin' dunk contest. He'd be dominating.
I mean, I want to see Larry Nance Jr. in there.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's different because it's a situation where in a game, you just put it
dunk
down.
On people,
I
want to
see Giannis jump from half court. That's what I want to see.
But Giannis wasn't in a dunk contest one year, and he wasn't really good.
But he was a young lad, still, you know, working out Greek-American translations.
It's the creativity that the people want, and the drone.
No, I don't like it. I don't like the drone thing. I don't like DeAndre Jordan. That's okay. Jumping over people is okay if you get it on your first try. I don't like DeAndre Jordan jumping over turntables or whatever the DJ thing is.
That's stupid.
I don't like the drone. I don't like, ever since they brought a cupcake and put it at the rim and Gerald Green dunked it, blowing out the candle, like,
okay,
no.
I like that one. That was pretty good.
No, I don't like it because it's not him blowing it out. Like, him jumping and, like, everything going on, that's what probably blew out the candle. Just go and throw down some dunks. Like, last year, Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine were just dunking.
Yeah. That was
done. It's okay. The mascot's there spinning on that.
That's fine. He's holding
whatever,
the ball.
That Segway thing.
Yeah.
And holding it and jumping over the mascot.
That was the dunk of the year last year, for sure.
Where he jumped over the mascot and put it under his legs. That was crazy. Do a dunk off like that. Yeah, that's cool. But when you start bringing in drones and things to jump over like a car.
The drone should have dunked it and then won the contest, I think.
That'd be awesome. It droned on for hours. See what I did there, fellas?
It really did. It was so. It reminded me of the worst dunk contest, which was Kobe's winning it, actually.
Relax.
It was a bad contest.
You're only saying that because Kobe won.
No,
that's the only reason you're saying
it. Go back and watch that 97.
I've seen it.
The standard for dunks, though, is still Dr. J and Michael jumping from the free throw line. I want to see somebody do that. I want to see somebody improve that. It's been 30 years and nobody can touch that dunk. So,
well, Giannis probably could.
Well, I want to see him do it and put it through his legs or something. You're Giannis. I mean, you got.
I mean, Giannis almost did it in a game against Indiana last week. He jumped from 1 foot inside the free throw line, and he did it.
And he had room left
in a game.
Yeah.
He had room left over.
And room to spare, yeah.
But remember Jamaria Moon a few years ago? I think it was a dunk contest in New Orleans a couple of years ago where he tried to jump like 3 feet behind the free throw line.
Oh, yes.
But he had to use a teammate because he didn't use one in the first one. So Jason Capone was trying to throw it to him and it didn't go well.
Man. Yeah, having to use a teammate. Like, I hate the stupid rules with it.
Dunk. That's it.
Yeah,
go and dunk.
Impress
the best dunk for me, I like the Glenn Robinson, the last one where he jumped over PG and reversed it. That was cool. But I also like the Devin Booker one where he threw it off the side of the backboard to Jones.
Yeah, Jones Jr. was
good. And he put it between his legs and dunked it with the left. Those were like the two best dunks of the evening.
These are all talented people, but, like, I mean, I expect to be wowed, and I wasn't wowed.
No,
with
it
any
was
of those
wowed.
Dunks.
It was dumb.
And now the standard is last year's dunk contest.
For sure.
No, definitely.
Going into next year, it's still going to be last year's standard.
Klay losing the 3-point contest was deflating. Like, it sucked. Like,
but Eric Gordon shot it well, so I think he deserved it.
Yeah. And I'm really happy they beat Kyrie. And so then, would you think that Kyrie's basketballs were flat?
I think that maybe trajectory was off because he was expecting less of like a parabola in his shot. Because
thus being that gravity doesn't exist or whatever.
That's true. What a friggin' nut job.
We'll get into it, though. We'll get into it.
Well, he did go to Duke, so.
It's true.
Nine games,
he spent a long weekend at Duke. Good for you, man. Kay, what are you teaching these idiots?
Yeah, like, Michigan State, too. Jesus.
Michigan State's not a good school.
Well, I mean, I like Izzo. Izzo's nice.
I love Izzo.
Taught him all I know. The 3-point was okay. And then the skills competition, Zynga's finally winning something for New York was good. to see that.
That's the highlight of the season for the Knicks.
No doubt.
No, definitely. Highlight after the Oakley situation, I think so. So that was...
Oakley was there.
Yeah, Oakley was there sitting beside James Dolan. Or?
And locked up in the back or something. Like.
Did they try to kick him out of the Smoothie King Center too?
The Smoothie King? Greatest name in
history. But apparently they patched it up now, eh?
You know, there's a better one. I like the KFC Yum Center in Louisville. That's where they should host it next year.
Yeah,
that's
a
great spot.
That's a good one. They did patch things up. We didn't talk about that Oakley thing. I think James Dolan is the worst. I know that's not a hot take of any century, but...
Yeah, he's a knob.
Might be the worst owner in sports. I think so.
Well, Sterling's out, so yeah, he's right up there for sure.
Well, I mean, yeah, we don't even know if James is racist or not, so that's the other thing.
the recording hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, I mean, just begging. But I mean, guys who take over dad's teams and stuff is tough, and the guy is just awful. And that whole thing, Phil Jackson is an adult baby. And, like, subtweeting at Carmelo, and then Carmelo not knowing, and then not waving his trade claws, thinking he's spiting the whole team or something. Whatever's happening, it's so confusing.
So, yeah, enjoy that Porzingis skills competition thing, because that's all you're going to get.
Imagine if they didn't have Zingas.
It's a
quickly,
garbage fire.
What are you guys expecting in tonight's All-Star game? And who wins?
I expect the East to win because of the dysfunction on the West side with Westbrook.
I don't think that's going to play a role.
Nothing's
going to
happen?
I think the flat Earth thing might affect the East team, but I think having Giannis will separate them. I just think his length will be the difference.
I think the West wins, they have bigs, the East doesn't. And I really hope Steve Kerr plays his four Warriors with Westbrook.
Do you think he does it?
He would never do it. I really hope that he does. He won't, but I think he'll do this. KD, Harden, and Westbrook on the floor together.
They will definitely have KD and Westbrook together. It's going to happen. Like, I mean, the script's too obvious.
What about, like, if Kerr wouldn't do it, which coach would in the West?
Anyone else. I would say anyone else would do it, other than maybe Billy Donovan.
Yeah, Billy Donovan might be, because he's like, please don't do this for me, Billy. I hate that guy. Remember?
Remember what he did to us?
Remember, he's a cupcake, right?
Or whatever.
A delicious dessert.
Remember, I can't beat them no matter how hard I play?
It's true.
It's awful.
I think those would be fun to watch, all three of them together, the Harden, Westbrook, and Durant.
That would be cool.
I bet you reunited?
I bet you have one prediction. Westbrook takes the most shots in this game.
Okay,
for sure.
Sure.
I bet you he takes 30-plus field goal attempts.
Oh, maybe Harden becomes like the child that gets his parents back together with Westbrook and Durant, and maybe they stay together for the kids type of thing. Because that'd be kind of cool to see.
That would be cool, like the end of Liar, Liar.
Yeah, kind of like that, where Durant can now not lie anymore.
But I don't know, you can't blame Durant. He just made a decision that...
The claw.
Was best for him.
The claw.
Maybe that's what Westbrook needs. Bring back the claw, KD. The claw. Stepdads can never do it the same way.
No,
Cantor just hasn't been holding up the claw candle. And
remember, you can get a hold of us by email at the3nikki@gmail.com. We'll get to an email a little later on in the program. Like us on Facebook at 3nikki. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram. The3nikki, and you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. And you can check out our website, 3nikki.ca. On today's program, All-Star Weekend in the NBA,
we discussed that.
The trade deadline is coming up on Thursday.
Ooh.
Yeah, exciting time. I think that's like... To me, that's like the best day, other than like when the playoffs start and
like
obviously
day.
free agency and draft. Those are like the big days. But trade deadline, you always got, you know, you're excited from morning to afternoon. You're like, who's getting traded? The rumors, and then you all have all these fake Twitter accounts that you can't fall for.
I love that stuff too.
Yeah,
I love that stuff.
You're like,
half
what?
Hour
this guy
of, like,
got traded?
Being like, oh man,
it was
what?
Fake.
What? But he had a check mark.
Yeah,
some of them get verified. That's the scary part, eh?
I know. They're so fake, they're verified.
We speak with Kyle Andrews of Bullets Forever, Talk Wizards, and
if they need to make a move, they're a good team now.
To improve their roster third in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, especially after that start, man. No one thought they could.
No. So we'll talk a little trade action. Lots of rumors surrounding many guys in the league right now. And one domino has fallen already. And that's Ibaka getting sent from the Magic to Toronto for Terrence Ross in a first-round pick. Masai always doing trades on his own terms.
That's huge.
Big deal. I think it's a win for the Raptors.
I would agree.
You could say it's a good deal both ways because the Magic get a first round pick.
I'm blown away and that they didn't ask for more.
I know, and they get someone to help improve their shooting. But they didn't give up much, the Toronto Raptors,
keep the better pick in the deal. I'm blown away.
And the fourth overall, I mean, and they get a power forward, a position that
they've struggled.
For a while now.
Addresses
since Chris,
all their needs.
Since Chris Bosh left, they haven't had a solid power forward.
Well, I was going to ask you now, like, does this mean like we're done with Sully there? That trade or that signing sucked, and he looks.
But he's a good rebounder, and he'll set you a good hard screen. But he was only there for a year, I think.
He's still recovering from that injury.
Yeah, that too. But Ibaka. We'll play after the All-Star break, and he'll provide rebounding, toughness, shot blocking, playoff experience.
Stretch the floor.
He can hit that deep baseline jumper, even that corner three.
He's going to bring back that Biombo nastiness, too.
With a better offensive
game. For sure.
Right. And it takes the edge off Carroll and Nogueira and...
And Toronto fans are going to love that. And imagine, down the stretch, I know in games, Dwayne Casey's all about defense, so... Put Nogueira and Ibaka, 5-4. That's going to be, no one's going to drive the line.
Also, you know what? No Ross means more minutes for our boy Powell.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Give him 30 minutes a game, it's about time. And I think he's ready to take that next step. Because he'll play weirdly 11, 12 minutes one night. And then he'll play 30 minutes another. And it's
more minutes for everyone too, though. Because we saw DeLon Wright have a great game. Recently, we saw even Fred Van Vliet's having good games for the Raptors this year. More minutes for all of their backcourt because they'll play small now.
Yeah.
Do you think the Raptors make another move? Or should they make another move?
I don't see why you wouldn't right now. You're in a position where you're sliding down the standings. You got guys like, what need do you have to address? You still have to get perimeter shooting. You want to win. Yeah. You got to have guys that can hit threes. I've heard Gallinari's name in the rumor mill lately.
I like Wilson Chandler personally.
Yeah, agreed. But I think he's a higher ticket value. I think that Chandler's the guy that's going to cost you more.
I think right now I think they're not going to make a move. I think they're going to wait. I think they like this move right now. See, I think this is him. The first, he was just Masai was just getting assets. This is the first time he's actually kind of gone out and made a huge trade and getting a guy that they can rely on. Rather, I'm not with them. But
what? You're not part of the roster?
Yeah, super weird that I say that.
Sincerely.
I think this is huge for that. I think you've got to wait how this plays out first. Deadline's going to happen. Finish the year out with this. Try and sign Lowry. And if Ibaka gets you deep in the playoffs, sign him as well. And work around, and this three will be your new core. This is the big three in Toronto for them.
But I think they want to re-sign Ibaka.
They have to. It depends how this pans out, though. They have to.
I think, that is the goal for them, is to re-sign Serge.
Magic look bad, because they just got Ibaka, had him for half a season, trade him. They lose they lost what pick they had?
The Sabonis, the last year's lottery
Sabonis,
pick.
Yeah, Sabonis, and then they get the down pick from the Raptors for him. So it's which is the worst pick from Sabonis. But it sucks, but I mean, what else could they do? They went top heavy on the front court, so
that's when they ruined it. They traded for Ibaka, then they went out inside Biombo, and they have Vucevic and Aaron Gordon. They were trying to play him at the three.
Yeah,
that was
ridiculous.
A horrible experiment.
Yeah, think about this. Ibaka, I think about Biombo. Biombo couldn't catch a pass with his arms.
That's true.
Now think about Ibaka, who can catch and shoot, so it's perfect this way.
I feel bad for Frank Vogel. Man, he's a world-class coach who's just fallen into a pit in Orlando. Yeah. Man, that team was already ruined before he even arrived.
Yeah, it was hard. It's hard to do anything.
Good. I'm glad Masai working that magic again, proving he is one of the two or three best executives in the league.
It just proves looking how bad the Pacers are right now too. Well, I mean, they're not terrible. They're sixth spot, but I mean, if Vogel still had that team, they could probably be right in there with the Wizards and Celtics.
No, I mean, That is possible.
Yeah. You got to be impressed with what Nate McMillan's done this year, though, taking over that team. Made them better defensively, so.
And there's been rumors now that they're shopping their first-round pick, the Pacers, to try to improve right now and try to get into that win-now mode.
They're saying, you want to get somebody for George to play with, George and Miles Turner.
Because George might bolt. Why not? He wants to win, right? And he wants to be on a winning team. And
I mean,
Boston is an option.
Slam dunk contest winner, though. So, I mean, I don't know why you'd want to draft.
That's true. But they're in the same position. You got to make way for Robinson the third now.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
That was his precipice.
Maybe that's why he wants out, because he's like, oh, shoot, like this is the dunk contest.
I've never even won one of these before.
So I got to get out of here. I feel kind of.
Paul George playing with the dunk contest winner.
It's going to be huge.
But I heard the Celtics. Okay, if I'm Boston, obviously I trade that Brooklyn pick for Paul George, but I don't think Larry Bird does that, obviously.
Right.
Now, this is my next question, because I had Paul George and Jimmy Butler in the rumor mill, Boston trying to get them. Because, you know, Danny Ainge, it's either a big splash or it's nothing for him.
Don't do anything.
If they add a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler, look out. They'll be able to compete with the Cavs. For once, we'll have competitor to the Cavs. But my question is, who do you guys see get moved? Who gets traded on Thursday, like the big name that gets traded on Thursday? Obviously, there's going to be moves, probably the little ones we talked, or maybe guys like, you know, Lou Williams or something like that. I know the Lakers, like role players, but that big name, who is it going to be on Thursday if it happens?
DeMarcus Cousins.
Really?
Wow.
It's going to be Boogie. Did you not hear that this guy could have ended up in Orlando?
Yeah, they said no to him.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's the stupidest move Orlando's ever made, because literally, that's your superstar. With all these average-level players you've brought in over the last couple of years, Orlando, why wouldn't you take an opportunity to get an actual superstar in DeMarcus Cousins,
the
best player at his position in the league?
It was the whole thing of, we don't know if he's going to re-sign and the issues.
Okay, but if you're
willing
to trade him for Evan Fournier and Nikola Vucevic, that means there's another team out there that has the assets to make this trade. Make it already. Get him out of Sacramento. Let's end this garbage already and get him playing for a real team.
All right. Well, he said DeMarcus Cousins.
The only thing is, DeMarcus, they already said earlier, Vladdy said that he was not going to trade him this year. So
he says that, but then this comes out about a trade to Orlando that should have happened. It just seems outrageous to me. Vladdy is out to lunch. That guy needs to sit down and reevaluate his decisions.
The whole Sacramento Kings front office is out to lunch.
It's a
definitely
mess.
Yeah. No, if someone to move, I don't think Melo's getting moved anymore. I think he's staying. And just to piss off Phil. And then, but I don't think there's going to be anything. Maybe the Cavs do something with New Orleans. I hear there's talks there. Obviously, AD's going to stay, but I mean, stuff like that, maybe Shumpert gets moved. I don't know. I can't see. I think the Serge Ibaka deal might be the biggest move.
You think so? You think it's Jahlil Okafor? He's not a big name, but he probably gets. It looks like he'll get moved.
I heard the Trailblazers wanted him.
They were close.
Instead, made the Nurkic move, and I'd have to say that they made the best move because they got
a
rim protector. And they got a draft pick that will fall into a really sweet spot in this year's draft.
Okafor's not good defensively. Eh? He's just offensively.
He's like, he's a big-time liability defensively.
Yeah, but he looks as fast as he does when he has the ball. It's super weird.
He'd look nice next to he'd look nice next to Anthony Davis in New Orleans, probably.
Well, they wouldn't have to worry about the rim protection. You've got probably the best rim protector in the league next to him.
So. Yeah, exactly. And he's fast on both sides.
I'd love to see
Okafor
go, though.
Yeah. Let us know who you guys think will get traded, or when the trade deadline happens, email us and let us know what you guys think.
Would you give up a
first-round
pick for him?
For who?
For Okafor?
I think that's the asking price, probably.
That's crazy.
Imagine you could get the third overall pick for the 20th, though. I mean, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah,
if you have a need, why wouldn't you make that? You're just getting another asset on a really fantastic contract. You know what I mean? Like, that's a guy that you'd be able to flip again.
The3nikki@gmail.com. Let us know.
Yeah. I have a
when trades happen.
You,
yeah.
It's not related to trades, but you're a big Lakers guy. How do you feel about Magic taking full control of Los Angeles?
Well, he doesn't have full control.
But when he does, or whatever he does, when he maybe brings on Kobe, brings on Robert Horry, brings on Derek Fisher.
No, we can't
Shaq,
have Derek Fisher.
He's going to have everybody back.
I mean, Kobe, we'll see. I highly doubt Kobe gets into. I think he's more of a guy that will give you advice and help you. And maybe if you need some working out tips or whatever.
He keeps in really, really close with your Julius Randle. He's been talking daily with Kobe throughout the season on how to improve his game. And
for sure, and Kobe,
it's shown.
Kobe is that type, but I don't know if Kobe will come into a front office and try to take over and make some moves. I don't see Kobe too much into that. But Magic, he'll be judged on, you know, the moves he makes. I can't predict the future, but if he does take over, and we got to see
like
what
it,
he does. Magic, obviously, Magic is a champion. He's a great. He's one of the Laker greats, one of the best to ever wear an NBA uniform in general.
But now that you see what's happening with the Knicks, with Phil Jackson.
Yeah, but that's a different story.
Pause for concern.
Phil Jackson's a senior citizen, though. Eventually, you've just got to retire from basketball. That's the way I look at it. Look at George Karl. You have a best before date in a career. And, like, it could be like come off a little disrespectful to talk that way about Phil Jackson. I don't care, man. You're past your best before date. New York, move on.
Phil Jackson should have just retired after coaching and sat and enjoy his 11 rings as a head coach and 13 overall because he did get two as a player.
Right, with the Knicks.
With the Knicks back in the 70s and just stayed at that, but he wanted to try in management. And I mean, other than drafting Porzingis, what else has he done?
But how do you make a mistake at third overall? Like, I mean, it was a home run. Players would still be a good pick.
I just never felt like former player has never seriously worked out for any team in any sport.
I mean, Jason Kidd's doing okay as a coach.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Derek Fisher didn't.
He was a general manager in Phoenix, and he was okay.
Larry Bird was a coach of the year.
But Steve Kerr wasn't a big name, you know what I mean?
As a player.
Magic was a
huge
name. He's a,
but
he's
Bird,
a brand. He's a
look
champion.
At Bird.
Larry Bird won a coach of the year.
Yeah, Bird, too. Yeah, actually, that's one. That's a good one. Kid and two.
Oh, Kevin McHale? He
wasn't that good of a coach, but in management, and well, then he fed the Celtics KG.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of like, hey, Celtics, thanks for everything, but I played. Here's Kevin Garnett on a silver platter.
But
I get Will's point. It's like that big player, that big name when he played, and then
RC
went
Buford
into
isn't a former Hall of Famer
player. Yeah,
I would be scared. Just knowing how the Buss family is now.
I know, but we gotta see how it is and what Magic does and if it's going to become dysfunctional, a struggle for power. If it gets to that point, then, you know, get rid of everyone and then hire someone new.
So you're going
someone
open
fresh.
Mind.
Open mind, you have to, and we gotta see how it starts. With the first step is the deadline.
Yeah.
And then after that, free agency, can they attract players once again?
It's hard,
Can they sign guys? Can they develop these young guys into superstars? We got to see. And obviously with the Lakers, the time is always ticking. You know, the clock is always ticking because the fans are used to winning and are used to championships. That's the standard in L.A. for
the
Lakers.
I think the Lakers are in a really good position to turn things around now, though. Whereas the Knicks, as long as Carmelo's on that team, if I'm an elite executive, I'm saying, I don't know if I want to... I don't know if I want to manage the Knicks with Melo because I'm locked into the current situation as long as he's on the roster.
Right.
Now nobody wants Melo. Nobody wants that contract. He's stuck in New York. I'd step away from that.
I think there's some suitors out there. Like if the situation's right, he would get traded and he would waive his no trade clause. But that would be what Phil Jackson would ultimately want, right? Because Carmelo wants to stay.
Yeah.
In New York and win in New York and win in the Big Apple, win at the Garden, but it's a tough situation. And he even said during All-Star sat yesterday.
You can say that. It's not going to happen.
That he's thinking about the situation and how it's taking a toll on him and stuff like that. He thinks about it. What's best for me? What's best for the organization?
Well,
and whatnot.
You know, it's really what's best is how Lala's career is doing in New York. You know, it doesn't actually matter how the team's doing. So you talk to Mello. That's what it's all about. Well, I can't leave New York. My wife's got a great handbag company, and, you know, I won't be successful in any other city.
Well, we'll see. The online Thursday, a few days exist. Away. Few days away should be an exciting NBA trade deadline. Before we wrap up this opening segment, we'll talk to Kyle Andrews next of Bullets Forever. The Basketball Hall of Fame finalists list is out.
Let's go. What do you got?
Yeah, Hugh Evans, Rebecca Lobo, Raleigh Masmino, Tracy McGrady, Sidney Moncrief, Kim Mulkey, Bill Self, Rudy Tomjanovich, Chris Webber, Tim Hardaway, Robert Hughes, Muffet McGraw, Bo Ryan, Waylon Baptist are the finalists.
Roland Massimino, I love it. Former coach of Villanova when they won their championship back in the day with Ed Pinckney.
Before they won last year. Yeah, that was good.
So that's the finalist list. They'll be announced, the people that will get into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Just based on homophobia alone.
Wow, that might be enough, man.
Final Four weekend.
2017.
April 3rd, so in Phoenix, Arizona.
Are they announcing them in Charlotte?
No, they're announcing it in Phoenix, Arizona.
Beautiful. Okay.
So that's then anybody got it.
Well, I don't know. The Republican state. Let's not kid around here.
That's true, right?
We'll be back with Kyle Andrews of Bullets Forever. Stay with us. 3 in the key.
Wall pushes it up court. Gets Seraphin turned around. Creates contact and scores the field goal. Porter again for 3. Got it! Otto Porter on fire.
Welcome back to 3 in the key.
Hello and welcome back inside the key. 3 in the key. Elias Lozano alongside Will Macklin and Dave Tripp. We are back at it. We're happy to be joined now by Kyle Andrews of Bullets Forever to talk some Wizards. Thanks for joining us, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, good, good. Listen, the Wizards on a roll right now, third in the Eastern Conference, making a push to even maybe trying to get that first seed in 2017 alone. In the 23 games that they've played, they've won 18 of those and have only lost 5. What has been the biggest key for this turnaround in play with the slow start at the beginning of the season?
Well, I think it's a combination of many things. I mean, if you want to look at the way John Wall has been playing this season, and this is the first season that he's been fully healthy. He actually had off-season knee surgery on both knees, and Bradley Beal also has been healthy this season as well. He's kind of reached his potential with no injuries. In addition, you have Scott Brooks's coaching prowess. I mean, that was kind of an unknown at the start of the season because some people, and I guess the D.C. area, thought that Scott Brooks wasn't going to be as good of a coach because he had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. But he's definitely proven that, you know, he's up for the task with the Wizards. And Marcin Gortat's been grabbing boards like no other, and Otto Porter's emerged as a rising talent with the Wizards as well. And then you have Markieff Morris. And so I think because of those guys, everybody is playing up to their potential. The Wizards are a lot more of a deadly team in the East due to all those factors.
You mentioned Scott Brooks. A lot of people thought that when he was brought in as the head coach, it was in an effort to try to sway KD over back home to D.C. Now, that never happened, obviously, but are you surprised how it took a little while to get going, but now that he's really got his system going with this team, they're on another level. They're an elite team in the East. Are you surprised, or did you see this coming throughout the season, developing over the course of the season?
I didn't see it coming to this level. I did see the way Otto Porter was actually playing at the start of the season. The reason why I think that it was, like with the Wizards, I expected them at the start of the season to maybe see the sixth seed. They kind of got off to a slow start. I still kind of expected them to rebound from that. But at the same time, you know, you had guys like I said, Otto Porter, he went from being a guy at the start of the season that was just, you know, hustling as much as he possibly could. He would get a lot of tip-ins, a lot of second-chance opportunities. Whereas now he's shooting threes. Like, you can't foresee some of the things that are going on. And then Marquise Morris is hitting threes now as well. So with guys that the three-point shooting has gotten completely better with the Wizards. Last season it was horrendous, to be completely frank. But this year they've turned it around completely, and it looks like because of, you know, small changes like that and the spacing on the offense as well and the kind of staggering of the bench that that Coach Brooks does, it makes the Wizards a much more formidable team than they were just even a couple months ago.
Now the Wizards are climbing up the ladder here. They're third place, surpassing the Raptors, trying to catch up with the Celtics. A lot of teams, though, think that they need to make that extra move if they really want to truly compete in the Eastern Conference. Maybe obviously versus the Cavs or the Celtics. The Raptors have just done it. They did it last week with obviously a big trade with Ibaka. Now, what do the Wizards need to do, or do they? Or should they make a move before the trade deadline?
Well, one move that I've heard a bunch of Wizards fans talk about, and there's actually some interest with the Wizards on his part, but they talked about getting Lou Williams coming off the bench for Washington, and it's been a bunch of different trades that have been proposed. One, I own Jake Whittaker, who's a managing editor of Bullets Forever. He actually proposed this trade, along with Finn Motion, who also is another contributor writer for Bullets Forever. They actually proposed a trade which would send Lou Williams and Marcus Morris, the brother of Marquise Morris, to the Wizards. But the Wizards will also have to get rid of Kelly Oubre, which kind of with Washington fans are actually excited for the potential of Kelly Oubre. And as of right now, he's probably their best bench player. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. One thing they could try to do is, you know, they may have to move a pick to get Lou Williams and clear some cap space. I know a bunch of people were talking about getting rid of Andrew Nicholson, somehow clearing some of his money off the books, because that kind of hinders the Wizards' chances of adding someone that can put a dent in things. But they've also talked about some buyout plans as well. Players that I'm not entirely sure who, you know, you don't know who's getting bought out just yet. But after the trade deadline, that'll clear up a little bit more. And personally, I can't wait to see what goes on with it.
You mentioned John Wall and Bradley Beal playing to their obviously top potential, and they've both been healthy, which has been a key to this Wizards' success. 9-1 in their last 10 games, currently on a 4-game win streak. And obviously, you covering this team and writing about this team, you might have a little bias, but give us the argument here of how they can possibly be the best backcourt in the NBA. And I think right now, certainly, they're probably the best backcourt in the East, just ahead of the Raptors' backcourt, because the Raptors have slid a bit. They're only 4-6 in their last 10. And struggled in the past month and a half. But give us your take and why you think this, you know, make an argument for why they could be the best backcourt in the league.
One reason I could say is that John Wall and Bradley Beal both are young and fast. They move really well. They play solid defense. And, you know, John Wall, I mean, if you broke it down individually, John Wall, pound for pound, is one of the best players in the NBA. And, I mean, it was kind of, before it was like, where is his potential at? Why hasn't he reached his potential? What has John Wall, you know, not done to become one of the better players? Because everybody forgets he was the number one overall pick in 2010. So, you know, people always say, well, he never reached his potential. But one thing he's worked on so well is actually shooting that mid-range jump shot. His mid-range jump shot has gotten much better. Bradley Beal, all around offensively, he's gotten, I mean, we knew that he could shoot threes. But the thing is, now he's a better ball handler than he was when he first came into the league. And I think that that gives him a better chance to, you know, penetrate off the dribble. And then he can also stop and pop. He's a guy that, you know, creates his own shots now, which he couldn't really do when he first came into the league. He was good, but he had to come off of more screens. Now he's making his own shot and creating space without having to push off or create fouls. So that's their offensive game. Now on defense, John Wall is a monster on defense. I've never seen a point guard chase down as many shots and block them as John Wall has done. Maybe Russell Westbrook as well, but John Wall, I mean, he rips the ball away from people. He steals it, and then he creates, you know, opportunities off of turnovers. Bradley Beal actually played. I know everybody remembers the Wizards game against the Cavaliers the other day where Bradley Beal actually played really good defense on LeBron. That, I mean, that rarely ever happens, a Beal as badly as that. I mean, you couldn't really stop LeBron on that play. LeBron was fading away from pretty much out of bounds into the stands, and then Bradley Beal had two hands over top of him, and he still couldn't block the shot, and LeBron made it to take the game into overtime. But really, how often does that happen? So because of that, their well-roundedness, that's why I think that Washington has the best backcourt in the NBA, or maybe the East at least, but definitely the East.
Even Laurie and DeRozan? That's crazy, man.
Yeah. They're good. They're good. Don't get me wrong.
They're okay.
I mean, it's just that right now, the way that the Washington's backcourt is playing right now, it's kind of a culmination of some of the things that Washington fans thought of a couple of years ago. I know if you guys remember that Bradley Beal and John Wall together, they had an interview, I guess, before like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson got to be as great as they are. But they said that they thought they were the best backcourt in the NBA. And a bunch of people laughed them off, but at the time, they were one of the best backcourts in the NBA. It's just the fact that, like, now they're both healthy. They're both playing at a very high level, and they're starting to actually reach their potential. Who knows if they're really the best backcourt in the NBA? We'll see when they actually play against the Warriors and everything. And they'll also have to see when they play against other guys like the Raptors, who have, like you said, Lowry and DeRozan.
Yeah, it's just so great to see John Wall and Bradley Beal healthy this season and really reaching their potential. The one thing I've noticed about the Wizards this year is the lack of rim protection. Like, they've got one player averaging a block right now, and it's Gortat. And other than that, they don't really have anyone. You'd think that Mahinmi would have been the guy they brought in to address that in the offseason, but that hasn't obviously worked out. Do you think that that's something that they're going to want to go after before the trade deadline this year, just to bolster their team for the playoffs? Like, heaven forbid this team had an injury in their front court. They could be in real trouble leaning towards the playoffs.
Oh, yes. That's what I think. I think their front court needs to get boosted somehow. I don't know exactly who they could pick up as of right now. Like I said, I think in a couple of weeks when the dust clears, well, I guess in a couple of days when the dust clears on Thursday, when the trade deadline happens. I believe it's Thursday, am I correct?
Yeah, Thursday, 3 p.m. Okay. Eastern.
Okay.
12 p.m.
Yeah, when the trade deadline, you know, kind of comes around and they're buyout candidates, I feel like it'll be a lot more guys that have gotten sent away that are still very good players that could come off the bench and make a strong push for the Wizards. So we'll have to see. I think that may be the way that they go. Who knows if Washington actually makes a move during a trade deadline. I think the more feasible moves would be, you know, the wait and see if somebody comes as buyout candidates. They've seem to do that in years past. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that this year as well.
Before we let you go, Kyle, do you prefer the Wizards name or the Bullets name?
Well, I'm from the Baltimore area in Maryland, so I'm definitely Bullets guy. My stepfather was a Bullets. I mean, well, he's a Bullets fan. He was a Bullets fan before they moved to Washington. I mean, he stuck with the Wizards. But if you ask anyone around here, they'll all tell you that it's the Bullets. It's definitely, like, and even fans from Washington are all saying change the name back, because it's kind of historical. Like when Baltimore, I'll give you a little bit of history. So when a team was moved to Baltimore, we actually had, I thought this was cool, we had trains, and so of course, you know, they had the Bullets, and I thought that was cool. But you know, they changed the name because Abe Pollin's dear friend, who was the Israeli prime minister, was gunned down, and so they had to change the name to the Wizards because of the and so since now Abe Pollin has since passed, and they actually have Ted Leonsis, who's the owner of the Washington Capitals as well, as their owner. It's been a huge push to change the name back to the Bullets, but the thing is, right now, they haven't really used, like, some of their old uniforms. Like, you haven't seen the Wizards wear their old Bullets uniforms often, except when they wear those, this is the Baltimore Pride uniforms, which are the sleeved red uniforms that you see with the big stripe down the middle. But and then they changed their name to the Bullets for one day. They were the Baltimore Bullets for, like, one day, one game, I guess, last season. But other than that, you know, fans in this area definitely want the Bullets back.
Yeah, then there's a little bit of history on Three in the Key. Kyle Andrews of Bullets Forever, thanks for joining us, and we appreciate the insight.
No problem. I appreciate you guys inviting me.
To be able to come here in spite of everything that's been going on, that's been surrounding, you know, whether me or the organization, to still be out here and representing, you know, New York City as a whole and represent the Knicks, I think that means, you know, more to me than anything at this point.
Welcome back to Three in the Key.
Hello and welcome back inside the key. Elias Elzain alongside Will Macklin.
Yes, sir.
Okay, new one. Dave Tripp.
Woo! Okay, I thought maybe we'd do something different now because we're doing the third segment.
It's possible.
Right. Felt right.
All
right.
So we'll go to email. Adam. Adam sending us an email. Shout out to Adam. His question, comment for the week. Our thoughts on Devin Booker, and is he the next big thing? That's a good question. And what's up with Phil? Who's winning this feud between Melo and Jackson, and should Melo stay or go at this point? Thanks to Adam for the email. We talked about that a little bit in our first segment.
Yeah.
I like Devin Booker. I don't know if you put him as the next big thing, but like, he's definitely a building piece for the Phoenix Suns. Great shooter. Has picked it up of late in the last like month and a half. Has picked up play, scoring like crazy. And I think that's one thing we can expect from Devin Booker, is to be able to put the ball in the hoop. I'm a fan of his game. He's on one of my fantasy teams.
Okay.
And I like Devin Booker, and I think he will be a future All-Star.
I agree. I think he's a future All-Star. I don't know if he's the next big thing. I think he's the best player in Phoenix. I think he's the guy.
No, I think Eric Butzel is the best player in Phoenix.
I think that Booker's a better piece to build around.
I liked what I saw from Jones Jr. last night, but go on.
It's a fair point.
Yeah. Someone who's played like, what, 12 minutes or something?
Yeah. Undrafted rookie at a UNLV.
Yes. Breeding ground for talent, too. Yeah, I like Booker, but I look at him as a talented wing prospect, a future All-Star kind of guy that's going to score.
You're a Wildcat guy, too.
Yeah, I know. And especially you look at these guys develop, that's clearly one of the better college teams of all time with Karl Anthony Towns, Booker.
Anthony Davis, Wall.
Well, no, they didn't all play together. But like Willie Cauley signed that team that went 39 and whatever, heartbreak. That's one of the best teams ever. I don't know if Devin Booker's the best young player in the NBA right now. I'd look closer to those unicorns, though.
I think it's tough because he's in Phoenix. There's a lot of players in this league. It's very good. Yeah. I mean, that's what's cool about this league, that everyone has.
I look at him like a Klay Thompson type, though. A shooter who can defend, big body.
Yeah, no, I think, I think so, too. I like Devin will boost it. The only problem is they're not winning, and there's so many other guys right now that are better than him. So that's the only problem. But I think down the line, 3 years, for sure. If they get another piece and the Suns start winning.
Or if TJ Warren takes a step, like, they're
He's taken a step this season.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, he's been injured, though. He's really kind of... Yeah. It's
Chris has been nice.
Yeah. Dragan Bender, one of these guys has to turn into a stud or else you've... They've really hurt themselves.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, overall, I think Booker, it's fun to watch at least. It sucks because the Suns aren't good, honestly.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The next part, and what's up with Phil Jackson and Melo, that whole feud, and is it time for Melo to stay or go at this point? I think it's time for, we talked about this in our first segment a little bit, it's time for one of them at least to go. Like, it's clearly not working out.
I think both should go.
I agreed to. I think both should go. But you got, it's up to
no,
Melo.
No, one's going to stay.
It's up to Melo. So
the only way Jackson goes is when his contract expires and then they don't re-sign him.
Yeah, yeah.
Melo has control of his situation because he has a no-trade clause.
He negotiated.
So anytime they try to trade him, they got to present a deal to him first and be like, hey, is this okay?
Yeah.
And do you agree with it? Yes? Okay, you get traded. No? Well, then you're staying on the team. And his love for New York and winning and all that off the court and his wife being there. And
yeah, of course.
Everything plays a role. His family is big for him, of course. But one of them definitely has to go.
I don't think.
He doesn't want to go.
He's just making
but it's
excuses.
Time. Ugh. It's time for one of them to go.
So the only
and it might be Melo. I think if they present him with a good enough trade and he thinks about it, and it's if he really wants to win a title, he wants to win a title in New York, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. And if you really want to win a title and the right trade comes, I think you got to be like, fine, I'll waive my no trade clause and peace out. I'm out of here. But then it shows that Phil Jackson was that situation and can Melo live with himself. After that, I think he can if he wins a championship,
of course.
If
he's in a winning situation, yes.
I don't know if he can win a championship if he sticks around to the end of his contract in New York. Because then by then, he's an older player in the league, and his best days are behind him. Does he win a championship off the bench? Does he turn into Paul Pierce? You know what I mean? A guy that is effective off the bench but can't get it done as a starter.
Melo has never been a guy who makes players around him better, i.e., Porzingis. Porzingis is actually looks bad beside Carmelo because Carmelo needs the ball so much. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think you need to move Melo. Melo just doesn't want to budge because he's in this inside war with Phil. James Dolan's in there being a bad person. Just being like not good at things. And so then you got to move Melo. I don't care where you go. Chicago,
anywhere.
LA,
honestly, anywhere.
Cleveland. Go anywhere, ruin a team there. Because I just
but seriously.
I don't think he ruins a team if he gets traded to Cleveland or the Clippers. He'll come in with a fresh new mindset. Other All-Stars are on that team. It's going to be about winning, just playing basketball. All that distraction is going to be behind him. Yeah, fresh start.
But if you're the Celtics and you've got all these assets, you can go out and draft a franchise player this year, or you could trade it for an All-Star, right?
Right.
Paul George, Jimmy Butler, or Carmelo Anthony? He's obviously the worst choice there. And why would you trade away a real asset for that? Like, maybe you trade away the Celtic pick for him, but you're not going to trade the Brooklyn one. That would be crazy.
No, I would.
Just
I don't
for
think...
a guy who holds the ball the whole game.
Yeah, it's not fair. So, yeah, I don't... to answer your question, Adam, Melo goes, Phil stays, but not by anyone's choice, just because that's the only realistic possible thing to happen. And
I think they both stay, and New York suffers. That's the most likely scenario.
Imagine being a Knicks fan. Remember when people were like, oh, what about the free agents? What about they go to New York? That doesn't happen anymore. No one wants to go to New York.
Especially with what happened with Charles Oakley and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And showing...
He's a legend in New York, and he got treated that way. Although, by the way, question. If that situation happens anywhere else, like other than New York or L.A., is that a biggest story?
Depending on the player.
It's not as big of a story.
I think it depends on the player and what he had to do with that franchise.
Doug Christie is on the sidelines in Sacramento.
Not quite the same.
No. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it would be as big. I don't think there are a lot of former NBA players that would get in that situation. The fact that it's Charles Oakley doesn't surprise me at all, though. It's just his personality. The guy's crazy. You know what I mean? He was as a player.
Yeah, he was.
It'd be like if Dennis Rodman did that at a Bulls game. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Wearing a wedding dress.
The difference is Dennis Rodman isn't like
an aggressive, crazy person. Like he was, he's like a really like quiet guy who just acts really weird.
Yeah, he's got a cool haircut though. All right, hey, true, new set. We haven't done this segment in forever. Thanks, by the way, Adam, for the sweet questions.
Yes, shout out to Adam.
Email again. Let's get into
Three in the Keys Spotlight.
We haven't done this in a while. I thought it was the perfect opportunity. It's been a huge thing all week. Kyrie Irving saying that he believes earnestly that the earth is flat. Indeed flat. This kind of started actually with the Channing Frye's podcast. I don't know if you guys listen to his podcast. It's not very good. But he had Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye talking to Kyrie Irving. And this is how it first started. So Kyrie Irving said, "From what I've known for many years and what I've been taught is that the earth is round. But if you really think about it from the landscape of the way we travel and the way we move and the fact that, well, can you really think of us rotating around the sun and all planets align, rotating specific dates?
Makes sense.
Being in particular with going on with these planets and stuff like this? Think about it," end quote. "Think about it, bro. Are we moving right now? Are we spinning in a circle? How are we on the ground? Why, if the world's round, why aren't we falling over on the spear, bro?" And so that moves on. Someone decided to double down, ask him about that podcast, and was like, "So, are you ironically talking about this or whatever?" And this is what he had to say.
"You've seen pictures of the planet, though, right? Like, it's a circle. So
I've seen a lot of things that have that my educational system has said that was real and turned out to be completely fake. So, I mean, I don't mind. I don't mind going to Instagram in terms of my thoughts.
So what the heck? Kyrie, you actually think that this is a flat Earth? You think this is a disc of some kind? You're to ignore 2,500 years of science?
The Earth is round. The Earth is round.
You're just gonna what? Just think about it, bro. Have you ever seen the Earth,
man,
in your eyes? Have you ever done this?
Here's the hardest part for me. If he makes some good points.
Facts, bro.
In the offseason, has he ever flown to Europe? Like, what happened when he got to the edge of the Earth? That must have been super scary. Oh. Or maybe, like, that dig to China thing is real, and it's just not as far. And if you didn't give up so early, you'd make it. Because if the world's flat, that's how it would actually work, you dumbass. Like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You travel in airplanes, man. You can see the curvature of the Earth from your airplane, you moron.
When a ship comes from far away, you can't see it because of the Earth being curved away. That comes over from the horizon.
True.
That comes up, and then that ship appears because it's not flat, bro.
I would be able to see the skyscraper in Dubai right now if the Earth weren't round. You're stupid.
How do you went to Duke and then the double downs on? Oh, yeah, you know what, Draymond Green. Yeah, you know what? I'm thinking about it too. Yeah, I'm kind of with my boy Kai here.
He had 4 years too. That kills me. Draymond was at Michigan State, albeit a state school.
I'm kind of with my boy.
Four years.
How are we all standing right now?
Maybe a science class, bud.
I'm not even going to say anything because I don't even know what to say. I'll just say that the Earth is not flat.
Hey, what about the UN logo? It's the flat Earth logo, bro.
It's true.
Look into it. Why are they using that? It's all scam, bro. It's all about trying to get in your head. They all just want to screw with your mind. They're all telling you for all so many years that the Earth is indeed flat. It is bananas.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know that it's also 10 hours from L.A. to U.K.? And it's also 10 hours from L.A. to Tokyo? That's crazy. Flat Earth, though, if it was really flat, it would be double the size or double the hours, bro. Because Tokyo is on the other side of L.A. So figure it out.
I never thought, but he was born in Australia on the other side of the Flat Earth Quarter. How did he ever get here? Like, he's only 24, right? Like, I'll give him a bit of a break because, like, he's a young guy, right? Like, maybe one day he'll read a book and learn a thing or two.
No, it's not even a conspiracy to him.
Like,
it's
dude,
the truth.
Have you ever heard of the space program and the friggin' pictures? I almost dropped a legit F-bomb there because this is outrageous.
the pictures from space. Do you think this is done in Hollywood studio? You're a moron. It's real.
Oh, my God. You know who also thinks it flat Earth?
It's an elaborate
B.O.B. lie. B.O.B. is also a big flat earther.
Oh, B.O.B.
Yeah, he knows his stuff. he wrote a song about airplanes, actually. So,
that was his like song that made him famous,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he writes songs about airplanes. You kumquat, figure this out.
Unbelievable.
It's a vegetable.
Okay.
Unbelievable. I don't know. It's tough. I can't believe this guy. It's really hard to say what we do, but we got to have a class or we all got to get together and talk to him about it.
Oh, somebody.
And we're going to end on the note that the Earth is round.
It's round.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. All right?
Yeah. Planets. Because even if it was a disc, gravity would condense the disc into a ball regardless. It's just how it works.
Have you never seen a picture of Saturn?
Yeah.
It's obviously not a disc, you dumbass. There's a big ring around it.
Yes.
Like, that should be enough right there, Kyrie. Elias, end this show, please.
The Earth is round. Let us know if you think it's flat, though.
I would love to hear the hot takes.
If you agree with Kyrie, the email is the3nikki@gmail.com
on
Facebook,
3nikki.
Yeah, follow on Twitter at basketpod, Instagram, the3nikki.
9/11 was an inside job, though. Right?
And you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud.
Tune in.
Stitcher Radio, and of course the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. The website, 3inthekey.ca. Also, trade deadline on Thursday. If you have any questions concerning the NBA, let us know. Email us and we'll answer them on the air. For
also
Dave
about
Tripp,
the Illuminati. We'll talk about the Illuminati as
yeah
well
probably next,
week. Next
podcast. Yeah. For Dave Tripp and Will Macklin, I'm Elias Olzane. Peace.
Hey Russ, what's this gonna be like to be in that locker room with Durant?
Man, you know what? Fashion Week has been great. You seen Fashion Week? You been paying attention to Fashion Week?
A little bit.
Man, a lot of great looking things in Fashion Week, man. Looking forward to new collections. It's been good, man.